أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قاف والقرآن المجيد. بل عجبوا أن جاءهم منذر منهم فقال الكافرون هذا شيء عجيب.
Living the Quran through the Living Quran, an audio-visual translation of Tafsir al-Nur of Sheikh Mohsen Qiraati, translated by Salim Bimji and edited by Arif Ahuda. Audio version read out by the translator. In this 16-part series, we will be reviewing chapter number 50, Surah Qaf. Part 1, a glimpse at Surah Qaf, as well as the commentary of verses 1 and 2, The Messenger and the Message. A glimpse at Surah Qaf. This chapter of the Quran contains 45 verses and was revealed in the city of Mecca. Its name is taken from the beginning verse, the individual letter Qaf, known as the Harf al-Muqatta'a, a disjointed letter. The focus of this chapter, like others which were revealed in the city of Mecca, is a discussion regarding the Day of Resurrection and conveying the fate of past nations, both the good and bad from among them. Surah Qaf begins by quoting the words of those who deny the resurrection, and the chapter continues with Allah Azza wa Jal citing examples of resurrection in nature, as well as in creation. The verses of this chapter go on to discuss the situation when a person is on their deathbed and what they will experience. In addition, there is a talk about some of the shocking events which will transpire at the end of this world, which will herald the commencement of the next world. In addition to this, there is also mention about the prelude to the events which will start off the chain of events to begin the Day of Judgment, along with a brief discussion concerning some of the characteristics of heaven and hell. Some of the verses also provide guidance as to what will protect a person from the spiritual dangers of this world and how to safeguard one from any harms which one will have to face in the world to come. These verses guide humanity that they must actively remember Allah Azza wa Jal and pay attention to His words, the divinely sent revelation, if they wish to safeguard themselves. Specifics of the chapter. The primary focus of the discussions in this chapter is around the Day of Resurrection and that which will come about after it, and almost all the verses revolve around this. Although there are some other issues which Surah Qaf speaks about, they are in some way related to the primary theme. In matters related to the resurrection, the following areas will be covered. 1. Both the denial and surprise of the disbelievers regarding the physical resurrection. 2. Proving resurrection by reflecting on the system of creation, and especially how the dead lands are revived by rain. 3. Corroborating resurrection by paying attention to the first instance of creation. 4. A reference to the recording of everyone's deeds in this world, and various opinions regarding the Day of Accounting, Yawm al-Hisab. 5. Issues related to death and the transfer from this world to the next world. 6. Some of the events of the Day of Judgment and the various aspects of heaven and hell. 7. A reference to the shocking events that will take place at the end of this world, which will herald in another world to come. Within these main topics, there are also other brief yet powerful references to some former groups of humanity who rebelled against Allah Azza wa Jal and the prophets who were sent to them. So we also are given a glimpse into their painful outcome. These will include people such as Group number 1, the Pharaoh, Fir'aun and his establishment. Number 2, the people of Ad, the people that Prophet Hud, peace be upon him, was sent to guide. Number 3, the community of Prophet Lut, peace be upon him. Number 4, the community of Prophet Shu'aib, peace be upon him. Number 5, the people of Tubba. In addition, there is also a discussion which focuses on the instructions given to Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family, which he conveyed to his community and humanity on a whole, which focuses on Allah Azza wa Jal and his remembrance, the dhikr of Allah. Towards the end of the chapter, there is a reference to the greatness of the Quran, something which is seen both at the beginning of this chapter as well as the end of it. Merits of recitation. From a hadith, we can deduce that Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family, attached great importance to this chapter of the Quran, so much so that he used to recite it every week in the sermon of his Friday prayers. It has also been stated in a hadith that Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family, used to recite this chapter of the Quran in every Eid prayer, as well as on Fridays. Perhaps the reason why he would recite it so frequently and on these two occasions is because both Friday and Eid are days of awakening and stirring the human conscious. They are days of returning to the primordial human nature, the fitra, which everyone was born with. And they are days when believers pay special attention to Allah Azza wa Jal and actively recall the day of accountability, Yawmul Hisab. Seeing as how the contents of the verses in this chapter are effective in these areas of life, since they focus on death, the resurrection, and the events of the Day of Judgment, a constant reflection about these has a profound effect on awakening the soul and spiritually training the human being. And as these areas were of special interest to the Prophet, may Allah bless him and his family, it is no wonder that he gave this chapter extra special importance on these specific occasions. In a tradition from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, peace be upon him, he has been quoted to have said, "A person who continuously recites Surah Qaf in their obligatory and in their recommended prayers will find that Allah will expand their sustenance, their rizq, and Allah will give that person their book of deeds in their right hand and take their accounts with an easy calculation." However, all this honor and virtue cannot be achieved by simply reciting the words. Rather, reading the chapter is merely the beginning of the journey to awakening the thoughts, which must then translate into righteous actions, and one's entire life should be in complete harmony with the contents of this chapter. Part 1, The Messenger and the Message, verses 1 and 2.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قاف والقرآن المجيد بل عجبوا أن جاءهم منذر منهم فقال الكافرون هذا شيء عجيب.
قاف. I take an oath by the Quran, the most sublime. But they wonder that there has come to them a warner from among themselves, and the unbelievers say, "This is an amazing thing." Commentary and thinking points. This chapter is one of 29 chapters of the Noble Quran which begin with individual letters, known as Al-Huruful Muqatta'ah. And as we have noted at other times in our commentary, these letters express the greatness and miraculous nature of the Quran. In essence, Allah is telling those people who may doubt the authenticity of the Quran as being from Allah Azza wa Jal that this book is composed of these same letters of the alphabet which everyone has at their disposal. It is not a foreign language. Then, immediately after making use of this one letter, Allah Azza wa Jal takes an oath by the Quran where he says, "By the Quran, the most sublime." When it comes to Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and his family, and the Quran which was revealed to him, as well as the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal, two kinds of bewilderments are mentioned in the Quran. The first is positive, while the other is negative. In the first level, or the first example, there is a positive surprise from a group of jinn who had heard the Quran and were amazed at its content. So they are quoted to have said, and this is found in chapter 72, Surah Jinn, verse number 1, "Say, O Messenger, it has been revealed to me that a company of jinn listened to my recitation of the Quran. Then when they returned to their community, they said, 'We have indeed heard a wonderful Quran.'" As for the negative surprise, This is also seen in the Quran, where Allah Azza wa Jal quotes the disbelievers who would frequently say things such as the following. The first example is in Surah Qaf, Surah 50, verse number 2, where God says, "But they wonder that there has come to them a warner from among themselves, and the unbelievers say, 'This is an amazing thing.'" A second example is found in chapter 38, Surah Sa'd, verse number 5, where the Quran says that the Prophet would invite his people to monotheism, Tawheed, but the disbelievers would reject him and say, "Has he made all of the deities into one God? Indeed, this is a very strange thing." And the third example is found in chapter number 53, Surah An-Najm, verse number 59, in which the disbelievers used to doubt the words of the Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family, regarding the recording of all the actions of humanity and the resurrection. Thus, in response to this, Allah Azza wa Jal states, "Then at this statement, do you wonder?" And the fourth and the final statement of amazement mentioned in the Quran is found in chapter 13, Surah Ar-Ra'd, verse 5, in which the people were amazed about the resurrection and being brought back to life. And thus Allah Azza wa Jal responds to this by saying, "And if there is something you find strange, how strange is their saying, 'What, after we have become dust, will we indeed be raised up again in a new creation?' Those are they who disbelieve in their Lord, and around whose necks will be fetters by which they will be dragged into the fire. Those are the companions of the fire. They will abide therein eternally." Let us conclude with some takeaway messages from these initial verses. Point number one, by Allah Azza wa Jal taking an oath by the Quran, this shows the grandeur and importance of this divine book, as an oath is only taken by those things which are of great prominence and immense magnitude. Point number two, if a person wants glory and honor in one's own life, they must turn to the Quran, as it is the book of glory and honor. Point three, since the Quran is glorious and noble, we need to recognize it as being such and must respect it in every way possible. Point number four, traits such as cognizance, ma'rifat of Allah Azza wa Jal, and perfection, kamal of a human being, are not valued by the ignorant. However, for the believer in the one true God, that is, the believer in Allah, both are praiseworthy traits and must be sought after. Point number five, based on the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal, He sent prophets to guide human society. They lived among the people and interacted with them. However, the disbelievers were shocked at seeing such a thing because they could not imagine why God would send people just like them to guide them. Point number six, one of the important missions of the prophets that Allah Azza wa Jal sent was to warn the people. Point seven, to deny the wise actions of Allah Azza wa Jal in His sending prophets to guide humanity is a sign of disbelief, kufr, in the Creator. And point number eight, as we conclude, the logic of the disbelievers throughout history has been to show arrogance and express astonishment in the sending of prophets. Indeed, the disbelievers have no proof to deny the prophethood of the select men that Allah Azza wa Jal chose, nor do they have any way to deny the resurrection. The only thing that they can do is marvel at the warnings issued by the prophets, specifically the warnings about the day of resurrection and the accountability of that day. Join us in part two, where we will review verses 3 through to 5 under the theme of the resurrection.